to know that we have access into his presence. You know, as we're worshiping right now, in most cases, here's my attitude when we are in the presence of God worshiping. I want to connect through the words of the song. And as we are worshiping, saying to God, here's my worship. All of my worship. I wonder, what do we mean by that? I'm saying to myself, God, I hope I understand that it is not just in the song that we are singing. When I say, here's my worship, it's beyond the song that I am singing. But I'm saying, here's my life. I give you more than a song. I give you my whole life. I want my whole life to be worship. I want, even after the service is finished and I'm going back home, I want my life to continue to be worship before you. As I go to bed at night, I want my life to be a continuous sweet-smelling aroma. That when I wake up early in the morning, a worshiper is coming out of bed. And my heart will always be filled with honor and with praise. Here's how Paul puts it. He says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. He says, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And he says, it is my reasonable act of worship. In other words, we become accurate in worship when we give God our lives, laid them all down on the altar, so that not only the lyrics of the song will worship God, but even our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our going out and coming in will be just a continuous worship before the Lord. Amen. Let's give him praise one last time in this place. As we take our seats in the presence of the Lord, amen. I greet each and every one of us this morning in the most powerful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, who is the builder of his church. Welcome once again to Builders Church, a home for his people, a house of his glory and a home for his people, amen. And if it is your first, second, or third time, welcome. We love you. We appreciate you. Kwa koko Botswana bare moyeng khoroga re je ka wena. Ne? Is that what they say? Oh, you are not sure. How kosho. Amen. But we are so grateful that we could make it into the presence of the Lord. Amen. How many of you always tell the truth? This is church, ne? It is in the presence of the Lord. How many of you are always looking forward to just go to church and just be in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. It's just such a joy. Amen. If you did not lift up your hand, don't worry. We are not judging you. That's why I said, let's be honest. Amen. But we pray that we can all get to a point where we can always look forward to another opportunity. David puts it this way, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. May God stir up our hearts and just create that yearning and longing for his presence so that we can be ready as we leave home. We can be ready. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Are you excited about the word of God? Yes, that's more like it. Remember, we have declared that we are in the days of glory. Amen. The days of glory. Jesus, after the resurrection, he did not immediately leave. But the Bible tells us that through many signs and wonders, he just bear witness to the fact that he is risen. And his disciples had to touch him. His disciples and people all around had to see him glorified in a glorified form. Amen. And it should be our attitude even during these days and beyond that we know the song was saying, Umfeliwam uyaphila, my Redeemer lives. The one who died for me lives. And the Bible tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says it was actually him speaking saying, I am the Lord and I do not change. So the very same miracles that he performed, he still performs them till today. And our attitude should be exactly that Lord, we want to see your glory. We want to still experience your power. We want to see you move in a mighty way in our lives. Amen. To do things that we cannot do for ourselves. Amen. This is a time where we are supposed to just identify some stuff in our lives that this one is beyond me, God. And I need you to intervene so that I can bear witness to the fact that you are alive. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about walking in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Who can guess today's title? I see there's a don't here, so I am stealing. I don't know who do they belong to, but I just helped myself. Who can guess what's the title today? Hallelujah. Running in the newness. Bringing sons to glory. Bringing sons to glory. Bringing sons and daughters to glory. Amen. As I continue with this message, and I'm going to continue referring to sons, don't feel left out if you are a female. The Bible says in him there is no Jew nor Greek, there is no male nor female. As a matter of fact, we have all received the spirit of sonship. Whether you are male or female, there's a spirit of the Son of God that is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Bringing sons to glory. Let's go to the scripture where we have borrowed that title from. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Apparently, this is the book that confirms that men are supposed to be the ones brewing coffee. Apparently, amen. I'm not sure how true that is, but that's what they say. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. Let's read the next phrase together. Hey, I wish there was. I wish there was. That's why the Bible says we must not think it a strange thing when we go through stuff. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Speak to us, Lord. We are listening as your people. We incline our ears. We want to hear from you so that we can become better people, better sons and daughters. Amen. Well, I always say to people, whenever I speak, preach, teach, whatever, don't try and predict where I'm going with the word, amen. Because even myself, I don't know. I was sharing with the staff during the week that sometimes I prepare and I don't know, this thing is quiet. I'm concerned. I'm like, heaven, what am I going to say when I mean, this thing does not, you know. But when sometimes I have just a moment as I'm speaking of like getting that light bulb, I'm like, whoa, wow. And it fascinates me and I'm excited. But a few hours ago, I was panicking. Hallelujah. Let's get into it this morning. Building a relationship with God, a true and a living relationship with God, begins with becoming a child of God. And how many of you know that the Bible says we must not despise the days of small beginnings? In fact, it says, who has despised the days of small beginnings? So whenever we begin our relationship with God, especially if we want it to be a true and a living relationship, because that's what God wants. He wants a relationship. He does not want to turn us into religious zombies, people who are just following a list of instructions. But God wants relationship. But in order for that relationship to be established, we must be first the children of God. We must be first the children of God. And our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ empowers us or qualifies us to become the children of God. John 1 verse 12, it says, those who believe in him or those who have received him, they have been given the right, the power. Another translation says the privilege to become the children of God. And how does that happen? It happens not by attending church, not by reading the Bible, not by giving your tithes and offerings, but it begins by receiving Jesus, believing in him for who he is and what he has done. That is what it takes. And then the Bible says, then we are given the power. In other words, without that, there is no way of becoming a child of God. We are automatically disqualified from praying our Father who art in heaven if we do not recognize this equation that the Bible, or the formula that the Bible has given unto us. Our God, in our relationship with us, he loves us so much that out of the titles that he could have given us, I mean, he is the king, he is the Lord. We could have been just called subjects, right? But God decided to refer to us as his followers or as believers. He decided to refer to us as his children. That's how deep this relationship is. I'm sure you can relate with this. Let's say you are working, and where you are working, there's an elderly person. And you relate as colleagues, of course, Mansaqala, but at some point they switch and then they start referring to you as my child. That takes the relationship to the next level. In other words, you are no longer going to look at that person as a colleague, but there's relationship in there. In other words, they have also grown fond of you. In other words, there is a connection of hearts that they are beginning to treat you as their own child. Are we together? So the Bible also tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. So when the world is looking at us, the world is just looking at foolish people who decided to be Christians. I'm not sure if you are aware, there's another young guy. I'm not sure whether he's young or old, but somewhere in between. I thought he was old, and then until I heard that he's a leader of some youth formation. And he said, one of the unfortunate things that can ever happen to you is when you are a professional and you are a born-again Christian. And I recently found out that his second name is Education. I was like, wow. He says, if you get educated and get a degree and become a professional, That's a very unfortunate thing that can, but his second name is education. I was like, wow. Then he said, another unfortunate thing is when you become a born-again Christian. He said it's even worse. And I don't blame him, because the Bible here tells us that because the world does not know God, they also do not know us. They don't understand the kind of people that we are. Maybe they just see people who attend church. They just see people who call themselves Christians. But they don't understand the depth of the relationship that we have with our God. The Bible says, behold what manner of love that we are called the children of God. We are not just called church members. We are not just called Christians or believers or followers of Christ. We are the children of God. That is what defines our relationship with God. And this is not just a title we carry. It's not just a label we carry. The Bible says his spirit also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's that confirmation that indeed it's not just a name that we carry, but indeed we have been made, or we have been given the power, the ability, the right to become the children of God. No one has the right to refer to themselves as my children unless I've given birth to them. If I can walk in a mall and all of a sudden a young boy runs up to me and says, Daddy, I'm like, whoa. Who's your mother? But the Bible tells us that we know, we have a witness, we have a confirmation. And that's why we must not walk a journey with this God without that witness, that confirmation on the inside of us that says we are the children of God. I mean, that will also help us not to be afraid of so many different things in this life, because we know that, you know, even our future and destiny is secured because we are sure. The Bible says the Spirit of God on the inside of us gives us a guarantee. The Umoya Ngcwele seals our new birth experience. In other words, not to be tempered with anymore. Our future and destiny is secured. We are the children of God, and we know where we are going to end up. We are going to end up in the presence of our Father. That's where we are going. Why are we going there? Because his spirit bears witness. No matter what I can do, where I can be, I have a home. I have a place that my Father has built for me that I can go to. Are we here? Even when the prodigal son, the Bible says, he went, wasted his life. But there was a time when he came back to his senses. And he realized, even though I am where I am, wasting my life, but I have a father and I have a home. And because of that, I can go there anytime. And he went back and he was received. I'm sure we all know that story. But even though we begin our relationship with God as the children of God, the aim is not to remain a child. But the aim is to grow up and become mature, become a mature believer, so that we can experience the glory of God. And not only that, but also to glorify God. The idea, let me say it one more time, is not to remain a child. We start off as children, but the idea is not to remain a child. At some point, we have got to grow up and become mature believers, Bazalwane. We all know that the Lord Jesus Christ began as a child. The Bible says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Even Jesus Christ himself, he began as a child. God did not choose any other way. He began as a child. But then he had to grow up and become also mature. In Luke 2 verse 40, the Bible puts it this way. And the child grew and became what? Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. A child grew. Look at the child of God next to you and say to them, child of God, at some point, you have to grow up. Underline, I did not say grow old, but I said grow up. So Jesus also, as a child, he grew up. And the Bible says he became strong. One of the signs of growing up is strength. When you are still a child, you can't walk properly. Why? Because you don't have strength in your legs. You can't do much because you don't have strength. But once you begin to grow, then you become stronger. So since then, the aim is not to remain a child. The question is, how do we grow up? How do we grow as believers? Because it's an unfortunate thing that you can be born again, become a child of God, and not grow up. And this is an unfortunate thing for many of us as the children of God. We don't grow up. We remain children. How do we grow up? 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 2. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. It says, in the same way that nursing infants cry for milk. Listen to what it says. You must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. You must do what? Intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. So in other words, there is a form or there is a level at which we are given the word of God, which the Bible refers to as milk. It says, for this milk will do what? Will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and what? And strong in life. One of the signs that you are growing, it is to become a strong Christian. This milk, it says, will do what? Will cause you to grow into maturity. So it is important, therefore, to be fed with the milk of the word of God. Why? So that I may grow. And this milk that the Bible here refers to, these are the fundamentals of our Christian faith. These are the things that makes us grow. Uhambe nam. There is no any other way to grow as a Christian than through milk. There is no way. At least let me put it this way. There shouldn't be any other way of growing as a Christian other than the milk of the word of God. In other words, through the basic fundamentals of your Christian faith. If we do not grow through the milk of God's word, we carry the risk of just accumulating years in Christianity without growing up. In other words, we will grow old and not grow up. Have you ever met a 30-year-old child? You are 30, but you are still a child. In the manner that you talk, in the manner that you think, in the manner that you carry yourself, because you just simply refused to grow up. You were growing old because you have no choice. I mean, next year, all of us, we are plus one. You don't ask, you don't give that permission. Next year, Tati, whether you like it or not, you will be a year older, plus one next year. There's no, you can bind it. You can get the anti-aging tontoni. But oksalayo, you will be accumulating years. You will be plus one. I heard earlier, Mama Kulma, Mama Golden Oldies, Kunaba Chabulai, one day, you are going to be 50. That's the reality. So you better accept it. You will grow old. Growing old is not an option, but growing up is a choice. You make a decision to grow up. You decide that, you know what, I want to sober up, I want to mature. That even as I am accumulating, I mean, it would look weird if you are 50 but you are still a child. It's a strange thing. There are certain words that we are expecting from the lips of a mature man or woman who has, you know, matured and grown up. There are certain things, that certain way of thinking. There's a certain behavior. I mean, if you travel around, there are people that you see, you look at them, you can realize that they are in denial. But they are in denial. They have not accepted. So they don't want to, you know, adjust accordingly. You look at the way that they are dressed, you realize that, oh, Shem, the old man doesn't realize that he's now 55. You can't dress like this when you are 55. Leave it to your teen son who has just finished high school, is going to leave that. Give your children some space to be them. But once you hit certain ages, there's a certain way that you need to look. You need to accept that, you know, it's so cool. You know, there are certain things that are acceptable at a certain stage of your life. But there are certain things that even God himself is like, dude, vat makir mejo sa mejo fro. So when we, as I said, don't, Mshami, let me put it this way. Can you imagine what would happen if a child grows old, not through milk? You are just feeding this child just water. Of course, they will be plus one, but they will be malnourished. And their pace of developing will be much more slower. And yet, by the time we say this child is 15 years old, they are not going to look 15. Because they will be underdeveloped. So sometimes as Christians, we temper with our development and growth, especially the way that God wants us to grow. We want to grow any other way than the one that has been set by God. We avoid the milk that the Bible says we need to grow by it. And that's why we become strange. We become weird. The more we have you ever met a Christian under 20 years walking with God? But you realize that, man, the foundation is decaying because they skipped the milk stage. That's why there are certain things that even though they are 20 years in Christianity or attending church, but the things that they say, the things that they talk about, the things that they do, they are contrary. It's like they are still confused about their faith because they skipped the milk stage. Bread is still food, but you'll be killing your child. It's still food. But you are mbulal. Because this thing has got to be a process. Start somewhere. There are stages, there are levels, there are dimensions. So as Christians, we need to make sure that we gather strength. We allow God to strengthen us. We allow God to give us the milk so that we can grow up. There's a process. We are becoming stronger in our faith. We have better understanding. And so that God can then take us to the next level. And I said, if we don't grow up through the milk of God's word, we run the risk of just accumulating years without knowing God. Bazalwane, the greatest desire in the heart of God through salvation, by the way, it is so that we can know him and increase in the knowledge of him. That's God's greatest desire. In fact, Jesus puts it this way. In John 3:16, the Bible starts by saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But then Jesus defines this eternal life in this way, in John 17. This is the eternal life, that they may know you. That they may know you. That's how he defines eternal life. Ukukwazi wena njengoNkulunkulu. So our growth should be seen in how much we know God. I mean, Jesus even puts it this way in another place. He says, others will come and say, we have prophesied in your name. We have healed people in your name. But Jesus will then say, but I did not know you. So accumulating years in Christianity without knowing God is a sign of malnutrition. You'll develop all sorts of diseases and sicknesses and all of those things that are suggesting ukuthi kukho izinto that you have. And that's why then Hosea 6 verse 3 suggests that we need to pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Listen, the greatest advice I can give to you today is that as you are here at church, make it your responsibility and your assignment to pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Don't be here and waste your time and your years and be here for 5 years and your knowledge of the Lord is not improving. And the knowledge of the Lord is not improving. We need to know God. We need to grow in the knowledge of him and know him more so that by the time next year comes, I am a better believer. I have better understanding. I have better knowledge of who God is. I have a much more deeper relationship with this God. As a matter of fact, the more I come to church, the more closer I am to him. And that's how I am growing. But take note, Bazalwane. The Bible teaches us that then it is our responsibility to crave, to develop that desire for that, and I like it because it says pure spiritual milk. And if it's specific to say pure, it means there is spiritual milk that is kunestoko siyama reject kwamanye ama shelf. Have you ever heard a news report where we are told that Nestle is pulling, but what's the term they use? They are recalling such and such Lokuza because kukho izinto ezi impure, ezi khona lapha, and they don't want to risk impilo zabantwana. But in many of our churches these days, we have quite a lot of impure. And we are feeding people every Sunday, every session we are feeding people. And that's why many of the Christians are malnourished. They're growing, but not growing up as they are supposed to. But they are signs. You listen to the things that they say, things that they do. You realize kukho into erongo up. So we have got to now go back as the church and ask ourselves, what is this pure spiritual milk that the Bible is referring to? So that we can be able to feed God's children so that they can grow up in the manner that God wants them to grow up. Are we together, Bazalwane? Yeah. But I like it because it says the responsibility is ours to crave, not just to crave, but to intensely crave. intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. Crave it, desire it. Just like umntwana akakulindi ukuthi umfide. Uzwe ngayise kakhala, uzwe angathi I don't know how to parents differentiate these sounds. I mean, the mothers will tell you there's a way that when the child cries, they'll be like, ulambile. I wonder how do they know? Ngodile isikhalo sendlala, isikhalo seconstipation, isikhalo sokufuna ukulala, isikhalo se you're like, how do you, I mean, isikhalo sokudlala. Mothers are able to differentiate all of those things, but the Bible compares this whole experience. It says, in the same way that the nursing infants cry for milk, in the same way. In other words, do we have Christians today who can cry out to God, intensely craving for the milk to say, God, feed me in this area so that I can grow up and mature? Do we have believers today who will just make it their responsibility that I'm not even going to wait for the Sunday service, but as from today, let me go to the archives, let me go to the notes of that class I once attended so that I can go back to those basic fundamentals, because I am realizing that I might have been malnourished in as far as this is concerned. And once we feed ourselves from this, we become stronger and we become young believers. And all of us, we go through that stage. As a matter of fact, many of us, we are still in that stage, because to our growth, there shall be no end. There will not be any end. So the next stage, therefore, from being children, from being babes, as the Bible puts it, we become young believers. We are stronger now. We, because of the milk of God's word. Take note, I said, it has got to be through the milk of God's word. It must not be through your years in Christianity. You don't grow up because you have more years in this journey of faith. You don't assume that because you are 5 years as a church member of Builders Church, it does not mean you are now matured, you are now a Christian, a strong believer. It does not mean that. It can only be when you were properly fed. And sometimes we do this. No, I don't think a church, they are feeding us. But did you read that verse? It did not say, ask them to give you milk. It said, intensely crave. In other words, it has got to come from you. You see, sometimes the cravings of the child, I'm going to make an example that is going to hit home. So when our second child was born, we realized, as my wife was breastfeeding, we realized ukuthi akasuthi. Because my wife would breastfeed, but the craving will still be there. You'll still be crying. Until we went to the doctor, and the doctor told us that, no, look, there is a specific formula that you have got to go and get. So can it be that the level of your craving will determine where God takes you to be fed? Can it be that sometimes God will not bother moving you because vele your craving does not qualify you to be placed in a place where you can be well fed? Where there's a buffet. But when we are fed, we become young believers. 1 John 2, verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning, he says. Then he says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. So when you are young in the Lord, one of the signs that we are going to see, it is how strong you have become in your walk with God. Listen, there are certain things when you are still a child that God is going to shield you from. But there are certain things that God will step in with you in the fire and not put out the fire, but just be with you to strengthen you, because he wants you to mature and become stronger. Ubasathe uyakhala ucabanga ukuthi uNkulunkulu uzofika aqukule. See, unathi, when he was still young boy, when he cries, I would run and pick him up and attend to him. But now when I hear him scream from his room, I say, what's going on? What's happening? Are you good? And he says, no, I'm good. I just dropped this. Okay, fine. Life goes on. I don't go running because he's now matured. He's a young man. He can handle certain things. I don't always respond the way that, I mean, when you have a small child, when you hear a sound of as if something is falling, you run. But now when I hear kukuku e kamereni, I'm like, are you good, dude? I don't run because I am saying you are now stronger. You are now mature. So even in our walk with God, there are certain things that God will move mountains for us. And I don't know if you had the same experience. There was a time where at a certain age, when I'm riding my bicycle and I fall, my parents will say, he's growing up. In other words, I'm at a level where there are things that are going to knock me down. There are things that are going to hit me. And God will just peep to just say, are you good? Then when you're good, it says, okay, let's keep on moving. Because there are greater and bigger things that are ahead of you. Then John here says, I am writing to you, young men, he says, because you have overcome. So the process of maturity goes through overcoming certain battles that God will not take out for you, that God is not going to pull you out of, but God is just going to assure you of his presence. He will say to you, do not be afraid, I am with you. That's why my favorite psalm, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, there are seasons in your life where God will let you go through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not going to take you out of the valley. He's not going to close the valley, but he's just simply going to be with you in the valley. He's just going to be there to encourage you and say, take one more step. We are about to get out. Take one more step. I'm not going to pull you out. I'm not going to shut it down. I'm not going to rebuke all of these challenges away, but I'm with you. You are going to be okay. This sickness is not unto death. There are seasons where God just keeps quiet. Not because he hates you. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be stronger. How else will you be strong? How many of you have gone through things and you thought, I'm about to die. I'm dying. I'm gone, it's finished. Like, I might as well. As a matter of fact, you thought, God, let me make it easier for you. Let me just kill myself. Because the way that, at the rate at which things are going, I am about to die anytime anyway. So let me just do it and get it over and done with. But a year later, when you look back, you say, I am stronger. I am better. I am wiser. I am more closer to God. I am more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. I am more faithful. I am more committed. I am a better man. I am a better husband. I am a better woman. I am a better wife because of those seasons I've gone through. Sometimes you must not rebuke those seasons. God is simply maturing you. He is developing you. He is strengthening you. Because where you are going, you need more strength. You need more courage. You need more boldness. Where you are going, do you know, Bazalwane, there's a scripture in the book of Revelations. Esibala zonke izinto that disqualifies people to go to heaven. And one of them, amagwala. Yeah. Go and study it. It talks about fornicators, idolaters, and all of that. And then it says cowards. God is not interested in cowards. Yeah. That's why then God then will expose you to things that, listen, that's why after you are born again, all of a sudden you are exposed to battles that you were never used to. All of a sudden you're like, before I was a Christian, I never had to fight all of these things. I never had so many people hate me. I never had so many people gossip about me. I never had so many things that I had to overcome. Listen, when you are growing, God is expecting you to be an overcomer of offense, an overcomer of bitterness, an overcomer of anger, an overcomer of all of these things that the devil will put in front of you to prevent you from reaching your glorious destiny. Again, making an example with my son. There was an age when he was telling me, there's a boy who is bullying me at school. I'd grab him and say, let's go. Show me that boy. Right? And there was a time when there's a boy who is bullying me at school. No, man. Hit him back. Why do you let another boy, make your life miserable? Are you not a boy yourself? No, I'm saying, so what? What did he use? Did he use a gun? No. Did he use a stick? No. What did he use? His hands. Don't you have hands? Well, with my daughter, it's a different story. I'll eat you alive. With my daughter, it's a totally different, including my son. When he touches my daughter, I carry him. I show him what manhood is. I just grab him, guy. One, it's my daughter. You don't touch my. But him, I tell him, go and sort him out. I'll sort it out later. I'll go to the principal's office. Don't let another boy tamper with you, peace with your joy. You know, tough. In other words, I'm saying to him, toughen up. In this life, you are going to be faced with even greater battles than this. You can't shrink because there's a boy who is chasing after you, taking your lunchbox and taking your school bag. In this life, it's not going to be easy. In this life, there are battles that are going to be beyond you, but you still have got to fight them. In this life, there are going to be challenges that are going to be beyond your capacity and your ability to resolve them. And I'm not always going to be around to rescue you. In other words, grow up. And there are seasons in our lives when God, his message during that time, is simply grow up. Grow up. Grow up. I will not forget this. I was listening to Pastor Benny Hinn a long time ago. I was still a young believer. I love Pastor Benny Hinn. Man, I love his ministry, his teachings. Jesus, I've never seen a prolific teacher of the word like that one. Taught me quite a lot. And one day I was listening to him, and he makes this illustration. He says, one day God showed him in a vision. Three people who were kneeling down. I once maybe told you this, but for the sake of those who were not there, when I need Jesus taught through stories. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he had to repeat them over and over again. So he says, three people who were kneeling down. And the Lord appeared to them. And he stood next to the first one, looked at him, didn't say anything, didn't do anything. Moved to the second one, tapped him on the shoulder, and moved along. And the third one, he knelt down, hugged them, and whispered some words in his ears. And he says in the vision, he asks God, what did those two do for you not to give attention to them? And to his surprise, the Lord responded and said, they are stronger. This one, he's still weak, still a child in the Lord, still needs me to give him close attention. The Lord has not left you. He is allowing you to grow up. He already said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he is with you, but he's allowing you to grow up. I said to you earlier, how many things have you gone through and you thought that's the end? You are finished, you are dead. But after a year, you're like, man. And when someone else came and told you about what they are going through, you are now talking to them with a smile. The sting and the pain that you had when you were going through that. In fact, when you are looking at them now, you're thinking they are being sissies. Get over yourself. And here's the thing. In your walk with God, you don't have to do anything wrong to go through suffering. Let me even make it worse. In your walk with God, you don't have to experience a physical battle for you to feel like you are suffering. Sometimes you just cry. Just for being a Christian. Just for the fact that I'm a Christian. I have to go to church. I have to pray. God, what do you want from me? If you've never gone through that stage, let me promise you, my brother, my sister, it's coming. Where you are just going to wake up one day and just be tired of being a Christian and ask God and ask yourself, what do you want from me? And you'll be crying and crying, and God will be like, oh, I thought you wanted this. Let's like this person who said, I saw this. This is very funny. This woman says, I wanted to tell you, she's talking to the husband. I wanted to tell you that in my marriage, there's nothing like divorce. If you are tired of me, go and sleep. We'll try again tomorrow. So that's God for us. It's like, in with me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you are tired of me today, go and sleep it off. We'll try again tomorrow. I see today you are tired of me. I see today you are a bit frustrated by me talking to you, challenging you to pray, challenging you to grow up. Just go and sleep it off. We'll try again tomorrow. Joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. His mercies are new every morning. Go and sleep it off. There are seasons where God is not going to change what he's doing in his life simply because you are crying. Yeah. But there was a time when you cry, they say, uzokhala zom. Ziyomamus. Akakhalikazi. Hey, my mom used to hit me with that one. I mean, I'm crying. I'm serious. I'm showing you my pain. Then she would say to me, let me see. Is there blood coming out? She says, nah. Oh, well, you're still crying. There's water coming out. You're still good. Don't worry. Until I can see blood, then maybe I can do something about it. And I will cry harder because I'm trying to get blood to come. It would not come. It would not come. I have to close. At the level of being a young believer, God shifts the gears. Moves from feeding you with milk. Now he feeds you with bread. But the problem with the bread that God gives you, You know, in the tabernacle, there was the outer court. There was the holy place. There was the holy of holies. There were different pieces of furniture representing different things. Quick one. In the outer court, there was the altar of sacrifice. After the altar of sacrifice, there was a laver where women used to, which was built with the mirrors of women. And priests used to wash themselves before they enter into the holy place. In the holy place, on the left, there was a lampstand. And on the right, there was a table of shewbread. I'm coming. And then there was the altar of incense. And then in the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. Let's go back. So when the priest gets inside the holy place, he will light up the candlestick with 7 branches. Because it's dark in there, you can't see anything. Because the curtain is closing at the back and also at the front. So he lights it up. It's not a candlestick, it's a lampstand, because it never had candles. It had oil in all of the shafts. So it light it up, then it would be bright. And then it would be attracted to the table of shewbread, which symbolizes the word of God. But this bread had on top of it bitter spices. So the smell of the bread would attract you. But when you eat, it's bitter. This is where Jesus says, you suffer persecution because of the word. No, you are not suffering persecution because you've done something wrong, but because of the word. Because you are eating this thing, it's nice, but it's dealing with you. It's the word of God. It's alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But it's dealing with you. It's pulling things out of you that you did not even knew they existed on the inside of you. It's pulling you apart. And what does it do? Then it pulls you to the next piece of furniture, which was the altar of incense, which is symbolic of prayer, praise, and worship. Then your prayers become genuine and sincere. Because lik sebenzile. Now your worship is no longer just a song. Your worship flows out of your life experiences. When I think about the goodness of the Lord, it's a real thing that you've gone through and that you have experienced. And you are growing up. And then there's another stage. Look, here God is simply doing this. He is now dealing with the love of the world in you. He is now saying, yes, I loved you while you were still in the world. But I need you out of the world. And I need the world out of you. There's a certain level in your walk with God when you are still a child, where the Bible says in the times past, God overlooked our ignorance, but now demands every man to repent. So there is a stage in your walk with God where God is just going to leave you alone to come to church on Sunday and still go back to wherever and to do whatever. And God will be like, okay, let's just continue giving you the milk. Let's just strengthen you a bit. But then there's a time when the word comes and he's expecting change. Where God now says the cares of this world need to die. Where it has got to come out of you that I am coming out of the world. In other words, I don't have to wait for a sermon. I don't have to wait for God to tell me. But it seems as if this world is becoming a nuisance to me. All of a sudden, you are attending the party as usual that you used to attend. But as you walk in, everything disgusts you. And you go back home and your friends are calling you, are reaching out to you, and you no longer want to talk to them. You don't know what's wrong. There's nothing wrong that they have done. There's nothing that you can point to. All of a sudden, even your own family. Hazatu Jesu, I did not come to bring unity between a child and a mother. He says, I have come to bring division. And all of a sudden, they did not do anything wrong, but all of a sudden, I don't feel like attending that ceremony as a guy. I don't feel like going to attend. I know I used to be there at the forefront. I used to be the one who is cooking. I used to be the one who is organizing everything. When there are meetings, I used to be the one on the forefront, but all of a sudden, now God is maturing you. He is showing you what this thing is all about, the real reason why you are now a Christian. All along you thought, I am just a Christian so that my life can become better. And little did you realize that before your life can become better, there are certain things that God is going to take away from you. There are certain things that God is going to pull out of you. You see, once God makes you his project, you are not going to rest until God is done with you. You are not going to rest. You are not going to find peace. You are not going to just get away with just anything. There are other people, I'm sure, Bazalwane, kukhona abanye abantu who were around during the days of Samson. There were people who were cutting their hair. There were people who were drinking wine. There were people who were touching dead things. God did not mind. But simply because he had an agenda with Samson, it mattered to him how he lived his life. To some of us, no wonder the hand of God is becoming stronger in your life by the day, because God has an agenda and he's not going to. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Once God marks your life, you are a target for life. You are a target. Some of us, we are walking around kukhona leyanto la imuva ibizwa konje. Some of us, we are walking around, there's that thing, and heaven is pointing at you. When you're about to make a wrong turn, there are snipers that are taking you out, taking you back to your destiny, taking you back to your calling, taking you back to your assignment. And God is not going to leave you to rest, because there's where he is taking you. This is how I look at it. When the attack is from outside, the devil is the enemy. But if the attack is from within, God is the enemy. Mm-hmm. When we are being attacked by somebody you have no relationship with, somebody you have no business, let me tell you, don't bother. Just keep on praying and just go. And the devil is your enemy. But when all of a sudden your friend, your relative, your family, your colleague turns against you, you must know that God is at work. There's something that he is dealing with. There's something that is no longer good for you, and he's the one. Now, that one you cannot rebuke. You cannot bind. You cannot cast out. You cannot nullify. That power is the one that is on the inside of you, and it is at work. Don't fast. Don't go to the mountain. Maybe if you are fasting, just fast so that you can just say, God, well, I accept. Do have your will. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus. When God was his enemy, he was about to kill him. God was the one who killed Jesus on the cross. Oh, you don't believe, you are saying, Mfundisi, what are you teaching? No, but it was Jesus who said, no one can take my life away from me. He said, I lay it down, me, as God. I'm the one who lays it down and picks it up as I please. Nobody can kill me. Yeah. So he kneels down. He prays. He realizes, as he opens his mouth, he realizes, oh, by the way, I can't change my mind. Says, Gube kiyangami. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Let's just get it over and done with. You see, the easiest way of getting to your destiny, to exhibit the glory of God in your life, is to die soon. Yeah. No, stop kicking and screaming. Just die. Just yield to the will of God. Listen.
Listen, let me tell you. I always look at it this way. There are two goats in the Bible, two. One is a scapegoat. Another one, they call it the Lord's goat. And here's what they used to do with it. They used to confess the sins of Israel on the goat. So the one, they would slaughter it and kill it on the altar immediately. And I admire that one because it's dead, it's over and done with. The second one, they will let it run into the wilderness. In other words, it's going to be killed by anything. So the death is delayed. But it's going to happen anyway. It's going to be painful. It's going to be rough. But this one is killed here, over and done with. A long time ago in my life, Babashando, I said to God, God, you know what? Just get it over and done with. Kill me. Because it's painful to try and twist God's hand when it comes to his will for your life. Listen, if you see when God says, I am the Lord and I do not change, he means it. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way. He says, who can give counsel to God? It's like nobody can advise God. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what God says. No, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. The scripture we have read, I'm closing. I will not be able to finish. There's just quite a lot of things popping up in my head and whatever. But let me close. The Bible promises us in Hebrews 2, verse 10, where we read, that God wants to bring us to a place of glory. But he's not referring to children. He's not referring to young believers. He's referring to sons. Bringing sons to glory. In other words, for us to experience the fullness of the glory of God, we must be prepared to grow up. We must allow God to grow us, to mature us, God to test us. The devil tempts. God tests. God is going to test you. Build character on the inside of you. Listen, character is not through impartation. I cannot pray character into your spirit. Character is built through seasons and processes that you are going to go through as a believer. There are certain experiences that God will not even stop, but he's just going to allow you to go through them. When you go through the fire, it says you are not going to be burnt. But going through, you are going to go through. When you go through the waters, they are not going to, you're not going to drown you. But you are going to go through it. You are going to go through it. But on the other side, you are going to be brought into glory. But you have got to overcome. So in other words, in this season of glory, these days of glory, God is looking for sons and daughters. The Bible says, an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, it says. In other words, many of us, we are still living like slaves because we are wrestling against the will of God. We are wrestling against the plans and the purposes of God. In other words, we are still even trying to neutralize the plan and the life that God has appointed for us. Neutralize it with our own plans and thinking and ideas. And we are delaying the process because God is waiting for us to mature and become sons. Listen, God is not just looking for members of the church. God is looking for sons. God is not just looking for people who are going to fill up the church and attend the church. God is looking for sons and daughters, believers who are going to be sober and matured. Believers who are going to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Believers who are going to be prepared to overcome offense,
childish things. Paul puts it this way. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child. I behaved like a child. But he says, but when I grew up and I matured, he says, I threw away childish things. But many of us, we are 10 years in the Lord. But yet we still behave as children. Look at us when we get offended. Look at us dealing with anger. Look at us full of quarrels and all of those things. And we are still like children. And we are wondering, why is our life moving slowly? Listen, God is waiting for you to be a son. To be a daughter. The Bible says even creation is waiting. Creation is waiting, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Ah, can it be that there are things that are now due for us in our lives, but they are waiting? Listen, the Bible says creation is waiting. Can it be that my promotion is waiting? Can it be that the next level in my life is waiting? Because many of us, we think we are ready for the next level. But do you know that there are some of us as believers who can be destroyed by the next blessing? Because it finds us immature. I've been a pastor for, let's stand on our feet because I want to close. I've been a pastor for now, this year is going to be 20 years. And I've seen people who thought they are now matured believers. People who were committed serving until they got a breakthrough in their life. Until they got a job. Until they bought a car. I've seen people disappear at church, lose their relationship with God. Not because something bad happened, but simply because something good happened. And that's what I'm talking about, that God tests. God sometimes will allow you to have certain things. Why? He wants to reveal you to you. He wants to show you that you don't love me the way that you say you do. It's just that for now you don't have, you know. You don't have the means that will help you to rebel against God. Some of us, we are kept at a certain stage level in life because God is protecting us from us. We see red flag. It's like God knows that when I can allow you to have this and have, I'll lose you. So instead of losing you, I would rather delay these things until the Bible says creation is waiting. Creation is waiting patiently for the manifestation of the sons of God. I need to ask myself this question. Am I prepared to grow up and to mature? Hebrews 5 says, by now you ought to be teachers. You are still in need of milk, even though by now you are supposed to be eating solid, strong meat, the King James says. Says you don't yet have your senses exercised to discern between good and evil. That scripture hit differently this time. Because God was simply saying, you are not at the level where the word has worked you. So that when I yourself, no, without being told. You see, there's a level in our walk with God where we don't fornicate, commit adultery, we don't smoke simply because we are told not to. But there is a level where I don't do it because I have understanding, because I can discern for myself between good and evil. God does not have to tell me not to do this, not to do that. I know because of how the word has whacked me. I now can discern. This is, in other words, I don't even have to wait and be told by somebody. The word has matured me
That's why I always tell people, Bazalwane, that I don't commit adultery. Not because my wife is the most beautiful woman in the whole world. Yes, she is. But that's not the reason why I don't commit adultery. Yeah. Even if I can be unmarried, God forbid, tomorrow, I will still not fornicate. Because the issue here is not because I'm married. It's like when you can get an opportunity, maybe your colleague at work is flirting with you as a guy, and then you say to them, no, man, we can't do this, but I'm married. Is that your reason? Is it because you are married? So in other words, if I was not married, you are tempted. It's, no. I'm not going to do it because it's wrong. We can't do that. It's wrong. Let's even leave my wife out of it. It's wrong. You and I cannot be having this conversation. We should not be talking about this. It's ungodly. And that's the level that God wants us to attain, where you don't have to be given the list of do's and don'ts. But the mature son or daughter in you, where you don't have to be told, wake up and pray. But there's a craving and a desire on the inside of you for the presence of God. This is where you reach a stage where you say, you are the air that I breathe. In other words, when I did not pray today, I feel it in my spirit that something is missing. That's the level that God wants us to attain. And that's a level of glorifying God. Father, we thank you for the grace. As you grow us, as you develop us, as you mature us, grant us the grace to be able to endure. When seasons are tough, challenging, difficult, when we no longer even understand your plan and your purpose in our lives, we pray that uNkulunkulu wethu umusa wakhe uvame. When we are weak, you are always strong. Your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. May your grace be with us as we navigate this journey, this walk with you. As we move on from this step of being fed with the milk and to the next step of being fed with the bread of your word and the next level of being fed with strong meat, oh God, may your grace sustain us. Because we know that it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But we know that you are bringing us as your sons into glory. We are going to see your glory. We are going to experience your glory. And most importantly, oh God, we are going to glorify your name. That as the world is watching us go through different challenging seasons, your word declares that you perfected your own son through sufferings. And we know that even as we go through difficult seasons, tough seasons, we are being perfected. We are being matured. We are being developed as your sons and as your daughters. And our lives will never be the same again. We thank you, O Father, for it is your desire. It is your will. It is your plan and your purpose for us to glorify your name, to magnify your name. We give you praise. We thank you that we are going to walk out of this place and embrace our seasons and be more aware of the fact that you are with us. You said in your word, you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. But you are with us always. We give you praise. We thank you, Father. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand of praise. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on, as a son, as a daughter, give him praise in this place. You are being brought into the place of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Bazalwane. I love you very much. See you again next week. God bless you. Amen.